What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast. Bill Rossetti of Panthers Wire back with you guys here. Hope you guys are having a good week, getting ready for the NFC and AFC championship games this weekend. And if you're already looking into the draft, hope you guys are looking forward to the Shrine Game this weekend, the Senior Bowl next week, as we are starting to get revved up for draft season and free agency and all that good stuff. As I said before, we'll certainly get into that, look at the positions and free agency and draft and all that. But what I want to talk about on today's episode is the press conference, if you will, or the media roundtable, some have called it, with Panthers owner David Tepper yesterday, and kind of touch on some of the notes that he brought up during the roundtable. I think the first one that we really have to talk about and really kind of focus on, the point that I think is kind of the biggest highlight of that news conference, or whatever you want to call it, was Tepper talking about Cam Newton and suggesting, or maybe not suggest, you know, at least offering up the option, if you will, of Cam Newton sitting out the year. Kind of similar to what Andrew Luck ended up doing in 2017. Now, of course, the Colts handled it a different way. They kept saying Andrew Luck's going to be ready for week one, and then he wasn't. And then the saga just continued, and he ended up not playing the entire season. Here, the Panthers are already kind of acknowledging at least the possibility of Cam Newton not playing in 2019. In fact, here's the quote from David Tepper. Quote, "If you told me that he took a year off and could recover, and it took an extra year, why wouldn't you do that? Now, we would have to do other things, right? We'd have to go out and get another quarterback then, which, if you can find me some more cap space, I'd appreciate it," unquote. Tepper then also said he hopes that, quote, "Cam's shoulder is fantastic and we're hunky-dory," unquote, but said there's no certainty in life. You know, it's intriguing, to say the least, that he would at least talk about that. I mean, you know, you have to, it's like life, you know, you hope for the best and you prepare for the worst. Obviously, I think this is more what David Tepper is kind of going with these comments, hoping for the best, that Cam Newton will recover as quickly as possible and be ready for next season, but preparing for the worst of not having Cam Newton at all during the regular season. And, you know, I think you at least now have to look at the quarterback position, whether it's a cheap option in free agency or maybe you draft another rookie in April. But I think we're getting into a position now with the Panthers where they're probably going to start covering all their bases. In fact, I have an article that'll likely come out at some point over at Panthers Wire about a couple of quarterbacks in this draft class. And I mean, there's a lot you can pick from. I just have picked three, you know, kind of randomly, but three that I'm pretty intrigued by in this draft class. I talked about Easton Stick, the quarterback out of North Dakota State, though by some accounts, he's having a pretty rough week so far down in St. Petersburg at the Shrine Game. But on the flip side, a quarterback that is performing well at the Shrine Game, and someone else that I mentioned in the article, was Jordan Ta'amu out of Ole Miss. I was really intrigued by the leadership qualities that Ta'amu showcased this season at Ole Miss. Remember, Ole Miss was playing with a ban under them, or put it this way, they went into the season knowing that they were not playing in a bowl game no matter what because of, you know, the past issues they've had. But they definitely played like the season still meant something to them, especially someone like Ta'amu. Now, the one thing you have to worry, and I wrote a little bit about this when I wrote about Ta'amu, but the one thing you have to just be a little bit concerned about is the kind of lack of experience of quote-unquote big-time college football or big-time games from Ta'amu, because he only played 2 years at Ole Miss. Remember, he started at junior college his first 2 years, and then he went to Ole Miss, and he was only the starter for 1 year, because remember, his first year was 2017, and that's when Shea Patterson was still at Ole Miss, before, of course, Patterson transferred to Michigan, letting Ta'amu become the starter. And like I said, I thought Ta'amu played pretty well, so I think he's going to be a guy, he's probably going to go day three, but I think he's definitely a guy that teams are probably going to have their eye on a little bit as a developmental option. You know, so for a team like Carolina, you know, maybe you take a stab on him and he comes in, at least competes early on. You know, you have to think, you know, you wonder if Taylor Heinicke's going to be there, but I will say this, Kyle Allen, I thought, did play pretty well in that final game against the Saints. You know, again, it seemed like things were probably pretty simplified for someone like him, but I think Allen showed enough that he could at least compete for the backup role if Cam Newton is healthy, and then, you know, if worst case scenario comes to play and Cam Newton can't go for some time, Kyle Allen is certainly going to be in the running, but you could also bring in another rookie to at least push the competition, and possibly Ta'amu could be that guy. Now, you know, obviously there's a lot of other quarterback options. Again, it's not particularly a strong class, but there's a lot of developmental types that you could be looking at. And I think the group at the Senior Bowl is probably going to have a couple of those guys, but having them all come in and compete is going to be really intriguing. Now, we did just learn that Clayton Thorson out of Northwestern now will not be at the Senior Bowl, so it's back to the eight quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl. You'll have Daniel Jones of Duke, who is already starting to get buzz as a first-round pick, and is, you could argue, will be the best quarterback in Mobile. You'll have Jarrett Stidham of Auburn, Drew Locke of Missouri, Gardner Minshew of Washington State, Tyree Jackson of Buffalo, Ryan Finley of North Carolina State, and he's the third guy I talked about in that article that, like I said, should be coming out at some point. But Finley's another intriguing guy, and we'll get to him in a second, and then Will Grier of West Virginia. But Ryan Finley, I think, is a very intriguing prospect. There was a little bit of buzz on him going into the season, and I think that buzz has kind of died down a little bit. The consensus seems to be he's a backup type, but again, in a place like Carolina, you know, I don't think there'd be a lot of pressure on him early, especially if he does end up as a late round pick. And I think this week at the Senior Bowl could do him some good, you know, kind of try to get his stock back up a little bit after it seemed to have come down a little bit during the season. But whereas I've already lost my train of thought. So, whereas Jordan Ta'amu didn't have much experience, Ryan Finley has a lot of experience. Keep in mind, this kid has played 5 years of college football, because when he transferred from Boise State to North Carolina State, he was actually granted, and I think it was at some point, but it might have been at the time he transferred, but he was granted a sixth year of eligibility. So he has a lot of playing time under his belt. Now, obviously, this also means he'll be one of the oldest quarterbacks in this draft class. The kid's already 24 years old. He just turned 24 a couple of weeks ago, actually, the day after Christmas. Whereas, of course, a lot of these guys, may not be 24 yet, but some are 23. And then you have Daniel Jones, who will just turn 22 in May. But it's again, as far as experience, Ryan Finley definitely has that going for him. And then there's a couple other guys. Tyree Jackson is the other guy that's really going to be an interesting study, because his first intention was he was going to transfer out of Buffalo, and then all of a sudden he pops up and says, "I'm just going to declare for the NFL draft." Really, really shocking a lot of people. Now, luckily for him, the Senior Bowl was able to squeeze in a position or squeeze in a roster spot for him. And initially, they were going to have nine quarterbacks at the Senior Bowl this year. But again, now we just learned that Clayton Thorson will not be at the Senior Bowl, so they'll be back to their standard of eight quarterbacks. But I think he's going to be another guy that really is going to have a lot of eyes on him. He has a lot of tools. It's just, again, kind of the shocker that he was initially going to transfer, and then all of a sudden, pretty much a couple days before the deadline, decides he's going to go pro. So he's going to be one to watch, I think, next week. And again, if you're looking at the quarterbacks in this draft class, I think if you take a look at the Senior Bowl, you're going to have a really interesting crop of guys. Again, just as a reminder, if you haven't seen the Senior Bowl, or just to reiterate from a couple of minutes ago, Daniel Jones of Duke, Jarrett Stidham of Auburn, Drew Locke of Missouri, Gardner Minshew of Washington State, Tyree Jackson of Buffalo, Ryan Finley of North Carolina State, and Will Grier of West Virginia. And again, if you're looking at the Shrine Game, you got some interesting guys there as well. You've got Brett Rypien, who seems to have a lot of. There's a lot of people that like him too, out of Boise State. We talked about Easton Stick, Taylor Cornelius of Oklahoma State, Jordan Ta'amu of Ole Miss. Marcus McMarion is another guy that seems to be pretty intriguing, out of Fresno State, and David Blah, I think I'm saying that right, out of Purdue. So, an intriguing quarterback class, not necessarily the strongest, but it's definitely going to be talked about a lot, I think, over the next couple of months. Really, you're only looking at, you could argue there might only be two guys that could definitely be seen as first-round picks, and two guys that teams may be really buzzed about. One for sure, and that, of course, is Dwayne Haskins of Ohio State. The other would be Kyler Murray out of Oklahoma. Again, we've heard the stories of how he was drafted in the top 10 last year by the Oakland Athletics in the MLB draft, and then they let him play football for a year, and then his stock rose. He, of course, won the Heisman Trophy. Now he's decided to declare for the NFL draft, and he very well could be a first-round pick there as well. Now, I don't really see much of a chance that the Panthers are going to get either of them. Certainly not Haskins, because I think Haskins is very likely going to go top 10, if not top 5. I wouldn't be surprised if a team makes a trade up into the top 5 or even top 3 for Dwayne Haskins. So, excuse me. So in terms of those guys, I don't think Carolina really is in play. And I think you'd rather them go in a different direction in the draft anyway, with their first round pick at least. But day two, day three, absolutely, I think there's a chance they're going to take a quarterback, especially if you're throwing out the possibility that Cam Newton could sit out a year. I mean, again, the fact that the owner is coming out in January and already talking about it, you have to at least keep that in the back of your mind that this is probably a position they're going to address again, at least for this season. And, you know, at some point, maybe maybe not immediately, but eventually you're going to get to a point where you start thinking long-term quarterback. But that's kind of the gist of, I think, where the Panthers are at right now as far as the quarterback position. There were a couple other notes that I've been coughing up a storm the last couple of days. I've been up and down for the last couple of weeks as far as, you know, battling a cough, battling sickness. It's been rough, you know. Cold weather is not fun up here in PA, so that's why I wish I could have warm weather again. But a couple other notes. Tepper also talked about the offensive line and was pretty blunt about it, to say the least. His quote on the offensive line, he says, quote, "Listen, the offensive line looked like a disaster. You had to give John Masco a lot of credit. It was as good as it could possibly be. It was a good coaching job," unquote. Yeah, not exactly subtle there, you know, flat out calling it a disaster. And, you know, I mean, when you watch the games, especially the second half of the season, you kind of have to agree. I mentioned it many times during the season. We went from kind of praising the offensive line in the first half of the season to really laying a lot of the blame on them in the second half of the season. And there's no question that it's a position that has to be addressed in the offseason. In fact, I just posted a 7-round mock over at Panthers Wire and using our friends over at FanSpeak and their mock draft simulator. And I was a little surprised at who I ended up with the first pick, but there's some reports out there that teams may not be as high on this player as we initially thought, or maybe us in the media are. But the first pick I ended up with in that 7-round mock was Jonah Williams out of Alabama, a guy that is probably seen as the best offensive line prospect. And I should clarify saying offensive line, because we're still not sure yet whether he's going to be able to play tackle. I think he could, but there's certainly teams that are probably going to try to kick him inside the guard. But either way, I think he'll be very good at, you know, no matter what position he plays. But that's why I think, too, Jonah Williams would be a really good fit for the Panthers, because we know this team needs help pretty much anywhere along the offensive line. So really, you bring in a guy like Jonah Williams, you can fit him just about anywhere on the offensive line, and it's an immediate upgrade. So if they're able to have Jonah fall into their laps at 16, or if they have to trade up a little bit for him, you know, I would not be surprised. If I were starting to build a big board for the Panthers, there's no doubt that Jonah Williams there's no doubt that Jonah Williams definitely would be on that big board with their first round pick. You know, and it's possible. You know, the more you think about it, the more it becomes possible that offensive players will slide a little bit, because I think defense is really going to take center stage, especially at the top of the draft. You're looking, obviously, we all expect Nick Bosa to be the first pick. And you're also looking at guys like Quinnen Williams of Alabama, Josh Allen of Kentucky, Deontay Thompson of Alabama, and, you know, a few others. Possibly Devin White, the linebacker out of LSU. Defense, I think, is really going to dominate the first round of this draft. And then you figure the couple quarterbacks, obviously Haskins, possibly Kyler Murray, maybe Daniel Jones. That's going to push these other offensive players down the board a little bit. So it's possible that Jonah Williams could be there, be it in the high to mid-teens, at least within striking distance for the Panthers to, you know, pull the trigger if they have to trade up to get him. Obviously, there's a lot of time between now and then, but he would definitely be someone right now that I would at least start to think about as a target if you're the Carolina Panthers sitting at number 16. But, you know, going back to the quote, like I said, and, you know, you got to appreciate the honesty from Tepper. You know, you don't usually see that too often from NFL teams nowadays, but he was flat out brutally honest that the offensive line pretty much was a disaster. There's no doubt. A couple other things that he talked about. He mentioned the practice bubble, essentially. Definitely sounds like a temporary bubble will be coming to the practice field for the Carolina Panthers. So, definitely sounds like indoor practices will soon be coming to the Panthers. And he also confirmed that this year's training camp will once again be at Wofford. We talked last year after training camp how there was some speculation that it could be the final training camp in Spartanburg, but as it turns out, it will not. The Panthers will have at least one more training camp in Spartanburg this summer. But again, very well means that we could be having the same discussion again come September, whether or not this will be the last year in Spartanburg. He also mentioned quick, here's the quote he said about training camp and fan fest, things like that. He says, quote, "Two states, one team does not mean we're in Charlotte all the time or just in Spartanburg. Maybe we should be in Spartanburg. Maybe we should have a fan fest in Raleigh. Something new. How about that? Maybe down in Columbia. That might be interesting too. All those options we talk about will be on the table in the future," unquote. And then he also, you know, not necessarily football related. Well, football, but of course of the European style. There's still talk that David Tepper wants to bring a Major League Soccer team to Charlotte. You know, however you feel about MLS and if you want into Carolina, but definitely sounds like Tepper really is still interested in bringing a Major League Soccer franchise to Charlotte. But those to me were kind of the highlights, I think, of David Tepper's media roundtable, if you will, from yesterday. But again, you know, if you're starting to look at the quarterback positions, definitely the names I mentioned as far as who's going to be at the Shrine Game, who's going to be at the Senior Bowl, those are definitely guys to watch. Again, you can check out Haskins and Murray if you want to, but I really don't think there's that great of a chance that they are, you know, I really don't see them as viable options for the Panthers only because there's a possibility that neither of them are going to be available by that time, or by the time the Panthers are on the clock. But that'll wrap things up here on this edition of the Locked On Panthers podcast as I feel my voice going. Thanks as always for sticking. Again, apologies for, you know, the coughing and all that, but that's sometimes how the weather flies, I guess. But thanks as always for sticking around. Always appreciate the support. Remember to follow the podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, all that good stuff. Also, just kind of a quick reminder that if you have a home speaker, you can, or if you got one as a gift, you can tell it to play podcast Locked On, whatever. You know, so, you know, if you got a smart speaker as a gift for Christmas or whatever the case may be, and you want to make it easy to listen to your favorite Locked On podcast, it's easy. All you got to do is tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA or NFL or whatever the case may be. That's all you got to do. So just tell your smart speaker to play podcast, and then whatever podcast you want to listen to. So with that, we're going to get out of here. Take care of yourself. Have a good rest of your day. And we will see you next time right here on Locked On Panthers. Until next time, Bill Rossetti saying take care, my friends.